Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, speaking of breakfast, if you're a marmalade lover, you'll know that Seville oranges are the top pick to make marmalade, but they are a short season that is just about to end. So to talk all things oranges now, I'm joined on the line from India by Chef Doreena Allen. Good afternoon, Doreena.
Good afternoon. It's later in the day over here. I think we're 5.5 hours ahead of you.
So listen, Before we talk about marmalade and oranges and that, take me to India for a minute. What are you doing there? And tell me about it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we love India. It's a total assault on the senses, to say the very least of it. We're in mid-India at the moment at a place called Isle of Ford, overlooking the second most sacred river in India. And down below on the ghats, which are the steps that lead down to the river, there's endless activity sort of day and practically all night as well. And sort of people, you know, bathing in the river and singing and chanting and feeding the fish and giving praise to the river for, you know, giving them water to water their crops and everything. And it's so colourful because the women are all in their saris and then they're pilgrims who've circumambulated the entire river and walked for three. And this is the end of their sort of pilgrimage. They've walked for three years, three months, three days and 3 hours to get here. It's just, and they just have their little pack on their back all and the walking stick. And it's an incredible sight. So there's always something to, and so much music and chanting and so on. So that's just to paint you a little picture of
that.
That is a wonderful picture.
That's you looking out the window now. Come here, so tell me, what are the best things you've eaten so far? Do you go to posh restaurants in India or do you eat street food?
No, I love street food, actually. But this particular place, we're staying in one place and it's right out in rural India in Maheshwar, a little village. And so there are no other restaurants pretty much in the area, but there's lots of street food. But the food here is very good. It's in the middle of a little organic farm and gardens and everything. And it's a 400-year-old fort that was originally owned by Queen Ayala Bai, who was a great hero here in India, did so much, great hero for women particularly. And we love it. But go ahead. But the funny thing was the other day they had my Tunisian orange cake. I've sent you this recipe actually for the listeners, but on the menu here.
Did you make the cake? When you move into a hotel, do you take over the kitchen?
We've been coming here on and off for years. So basically I can wander into the kitchen if I want to. And I gave them, we swap recipes, you know, which is brilliant. So they teach me lots and lots of wonderful Indian dishes. And they particularly love, Irish and English puddings, desserts, biscuits, cakes, that kind of thing. So I gave them this recipe a couple of years ago and they've been using it ever since.
Okay, so we get on to marmalade then. Did you bring them out some marmalade as well in your suitcase, yeah?
You've done such a lot of research on me. I absolutely did. They love it. And I also brought the old-fashioned Seville orange marmalade, which we just made there a couple of weeks ago at the school. And then also another one made, which we call Pam's Bergamot Marmalade, which is made with another type of citrus called bergamot. So brought that out. They loved that.
Okay, so are you a big
guests.
Marmalade maker?
Oh, I love marmalade. Actually, and it always brings memories flooding back of years and years when we got married first in the beginning. I remember buying our first marmalade oranges and sitting down and laboriously cutting the peel. Actually, some people hate the thought of cutting the orange peel for marmalade, but I love it. I kind of get into a zen-like state, sit up on a stool with a cup of coffee or something. And anyway, then when you make the marmalade, the whole house smells of marmalade. And then you fill it. There you are. And you put it into your jars and you put it up on the shelf and you look up at them and they look like good deeds up on the shelf.
So and why the Seville oranges particularly, Doreena, for marmalade?
Well, because they're bitter. They, you know, if you go to Spain or wherever, you'll often see, obviously, all those orange trees along the side of the street. And we often wonder why nobody, you know, has stolen off the oranges off the trees. But they're these bitter marmalade oranges that the Spaniards don't really make marmalade. I think it's a very peculiar tradition we have over this side of the world. So they send all their marmalade oranges over here. And as you quite rightly said earlier there, the season is coming to an end now. Usually starts in about December, but there's still time. And if you think, God, where am I going to get time to make marmalade? You can throw them into the freezer. And there's another really good recipe of Myrtle's actually from years ago of whole orange marmalade. So you can take out the frozen oranges, put them straight into a pot and boil them up with water and then cut them when they're soft. So that works well too.
Yeah, because people now differ on marmalades. Like you can divide families. There can be a chunky kind of marmalade and then a kind of a smoother one.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. It's like coffee. You know, your first coffee in the morning is nobody wants to mess around with that. But basically, I love dark marmalade, and actually sometimes put a little treacle into it, and sometimes put a little Irish. The one I brought out here had Irish whiskey in it. Actually, it's all gone now. They've eaten it all.
Talk me through the marmalade making process briefly. So, and we will put up the details and the recipe on the website.
And yeah, that's good. So you literally cut them in half. And then scoop out the sort of the pulpy bit out of the centre, and then you can put the pulpy bit into a bit of muslin because that's got and all the pips. You see, that's got lots of the sort of gelatin to set the marmalade. Then you slice the marmalade, peel into little slices, and put that with the juice of a couple of lemons and some lemon zest, a lemon peel into a basin or something, and cover it with water and soak it overnight, and following day then pop it into a saucepan with the lid on and cook it until, now you have to cook, this is really important actually, this is a sort of little tip, you have to cook it with the lid on until the peel is really soft, and then you can take the lid off and reduce the liquid a bit. Now if you don't cook it until the peel is soft, when you add the sugar and add hot sugar so it dissolves quickly, basically the peel will never soften, the sugar hardens it. So you have to really make sure that the peel is soft before you add the sugar, and then cook it until it sets. Put a little bit out in a cold saucer and push it with your finger. And if it wrinkles even a little bit, then you know it'll set, and into the jars, and then there you are, enjoy.
Okay.
And then it's great if you're going to visit friends, instead of bringing them a dodgy bottle of wine or something, bring them a pot of your marmalade and they'll be delighted with you.
Absolutely. Now, you've also given us a Campari orange sorbet. Tell us about that.
Yep. That's delicious too. Again, it's even more delicious because this is the citrus season. Because you notice there's so many different types of citrus, the kumquats and everything, which by the way also make a lovely marmalade. But basically, if you make this with blood oranges, which are in season at the moment, and a little dash of Campari and syrup, and freeze it, oh my goodness, it's so delicious. And then you can scoop that out, particularly if you're having a big hearty winter stew or something. A little Campari and blood orange sorbet afterwards, or indeed for that matter, before it is really, really delicious, lovely, fresh tasting. Yeah,
yeah. I remember Campari kind of became a kind of a cliche in the 70s or whenever I was growing up and became unfashionable. But the Aperol Spritz are such a thing now, isn't Campari's kind of come back into being cool again, hasn't it?
Totally. Oh, yeah. I am a total Campari person. I love Campari and fresh orange juice. That's one of my sort of my drink, one of the things I really, really love. So it's real, and a bottle of it lasts for ages, actually. But it's fantastic. It's exactly as you say, with a soda water or even with sparkling water, Campari on its own, and then a drop of orange juice. Delicious.
Okay, and finally, talk me through the orange cake. Now, will everyone be able for this?
I put the recipe, give essentially the recipe, put it up on your website there. But this one actually is made with, it could also be gluten free because you could make it either, we use breadcrumbs in it as well and ground almonds and with orange zest and some oil and everything in it. And then you can mix the whole lot together. It's a really, really wet mixture. So you think, oh my God, I've left something out. But you pour that into the tin and you could use gluten-free breadcrumbs either. That's why I'm mentioning that. Mm-hmm. And then pop it into a cold oven. It sounds very funny. And then you turn on the oven. Now, I was given this recipe originally by Sophie Grigson, actually, Jane Grigson's daughter. And I said to her, why do you put it into a cold oven? And she said, I don't know. The person who gave me the recipe told me to put it in a cold oven. And, but that it works, and actually it doesn't. I've tried to put it into a hot oven, preheated oven, and it doesn't. It burns it on top. So anyway, follow my recipe given to me by Sophie.
Okay, so follow the science. Yeah. Okay.
But
so
I'll tell you what, Brendan, it's a really brilliant recipe because it's when it comes out of the oven, you pour a sort of lemon and orange syrup over the top of it, and it keeps for weeks. So you could have it either with a cup of tea in the afternoon, or else just as a pudding. Here at Isle of Forth, they're serving it with as a pudding and with some lovely natural yogurt with it. It's so good.
Doreena Allen, thank you so much. We'll put all those up on the website, and enjoy the rest of your trip. We're very jealous of you. Thanks, Doreena.